Okay, so in this video, I am going to cover everything that I ever wanted to talk about money that I'm just like, fuck. Like, if somebody had told me this back then, it would have helped me so much. So I'm going to dive deep into everything that you need to know about money mindset when it comes to making money, saving money. I'm not going to talk about investing money because that's not my expertise, but that's for something that you can watch from another person who knows how to, has an expertise in investing money, okay? But I'm going to talk about it from the perspective of personal healing, from the perspective of generational trauma healing, from the perspective of earning, manifestation, working, saving money, setting goals. Anything related to business and entrepreneurship might get sprinkled in here. So yeah, okay, so let's get started. Yay, I'm so excited. Oh my God, I don't know why, like I'm so excited to sit down and talk about this. So like gathering myself. Okay, so first, what is money mindset? To me, when I hear the word money mindset, when I first came upon the term, I was like, what does that even mean? I don't get it. Money mindset essentially is your mindset about money. We all have mindset around all different topics. So money mindset is your mindset about money. Now, every one of us has certain mindset, perspective, the way that we see things or perceive things or things that we believe about certain topics, right? Such as relationship or how to live our life. So money is one of them. And when I first heard about money mindset, I think it was quite a long time ago, but I never really understood what it meant to like really work on your money mindset. Back when I was in university, I had read a lot of books on investing and money and all of that, but it never really landed in a way that was transformative for me. I was very much stuck in the same habitual money patterns that I grew up with. And so, money mindset is not just about your mindset. It's not just about the things that you read. It's not just a thing that, like you read from a book or you heard from a person. It has to be like, for it to be transformative, it has to really land and it has to really be deeply resonating within you. And so for me, when I think about money mindset, it's not just at an intellectual level, but it's actually at an energetic, emotional, behavioral level as well. And so I invite you to, whenever I speak about money mindset, also think about it as the energetics. What does that mean? It means that in your body, how does these things land? How do they feel? For example, back in the day, I heard so many things about savings and I never saved. I think I tried to, but I never did. And it was because my body, my unconscious patterns was never taught how to save. So my body wasn't comfortable with saving. My mindset wasn't prioritizing saving, even though I knew I should. Emotionally, I didn't feel excited about saving. I didn't feel like it was like a positive, happy, pleasurable thing. It felt like saving was something that was taking things away from me, right? So that's a money mindset. That was a past belief that I had. Where does that come from? It comes from family, from upbringing, from culture, from whatever environment that you grew up in. So that's how you can also find your limiting beliefs showing up and affecting your life. So back to money mindset. When you come into this work of working with your money mindset, I invite you to not just work from a place of, well, I need to read this book and I need to listen to this person, but actually like go into meditation with it, actually contemplate on it, actually emotionally process the topic, because that's how I have found to be the greatest transformation in my life is when I actually take the topic and really just sit with it. Not just like, because trust me, for a long time. I just kept reading books, and I read a freaking shit ton of books on money, on investing, on all of these things. And my body just like did not match up with that capacity. You know, like it just, I felt like I was reading things from an intellectual level, like I understood it at a mind level, but at a bodily, emotionally, energetic level, it's just like, meh, yeah, it's not catching up, you know? And so, even like, it's not just money, but even when we are working with healing things and forgiving things, or like I'm just bringing up the topic of forgiveness, for example, we can't just be like, well, I'm gonna forgive you. Like your mind may say that, but then you see that person, you're like, oh, I haven't forgiven you yet, right? So like the mind can, you can tell whatever your mind, but your body, you have to work with the body as well, and the emotions and the energy and all of that. So to me, when I'm inviting you to this topic about money mindset, it's not just the mind, it's the body, it's the emotion, it's the energetic, it's everything, you know? So that's what I'm bringing you to. I have some notes here. So if you see me looking, it's just me looking at my notes. So to me, the most important thing when it comes to money mindset is that we don't. So here are two things. You can come at it from a fixed mindset, meaning that, you know, you think that once you develop a belief, once you have a good mindset, you're good to go and that's it. So that is what's considered a fixed mindset. Or if you think, well, you know, money has always been terrible in my life. I've never had money. My parents never taught me, and things will never change. That is a fixed mindset, meaning you are not willing to change. You wanted it to stay the same. So on the other hand, a growth mindset would say, I can always improve my money mindset. Wherever I am today, it can always be improved. I can learn new things. I can change how I behave. I can change my patterns. So that would be the growth mindset. So that's another thing that I'm inviting you to come to this conversation today, is to come with the growth mindset that wherever you are right now in your journey, it can always grow. It can always grow exponentially. It can literally change anytime. It can always change. You can always update and upgrade it like an iPhone, you know, like occasionally you get upgrades and updates, and that's the same thing with your mindset about anything, is you can update and upgrade it anytime you want. Anytime when you think that it's time for an upgrade, it's time for growth, or you know what, this is not serving me anymore, so it's time for an upgrade. So I invite you to bring in that growth mindset space so that this conversation can be expansive for you. So next thing that I want to go in depth with is, how does money mindset work? And I'm going to speak from a place of patterns and upbringing and conditioning, because, oh my goodness, I just wish that I knew this before. I just thought that, you know, if I can just gain all the intellectual knowledge, that that would be enough. But the truth is that it wasn't. So, you know, have you ever you just heard of or understood even that the rich kids, right, grew up with rich parents, they kind of somehow understood money in that way. And then the kids that are struggling, right, growing up with parents that are struggling, they understood money in a different way. And so money mindset and patterns and conditioning has a lot to do with our upbringing. And that's not just money, but anything, like how we, you know, process our emotions, the way that we perceive, say, sadness or anger or relationships or career or whatever, like all of it is conditioned from our upbringing. And so to me, when I bring this topic of money into conditioning, it's such a, like, it's number one sensitive, and it's number two, wow, like it's deep, you know, like this shit is deep. So I'm gonna share my personal example. I grew up with my, it was kind of interesting, like I grew up with various money beliefs, because my mom's side of the family, everyone was pretty much entrepreneurial, and they were risk takers, and money for them had somewhat of a chaotic pattern. So like they would make a lot and then maybe lose or make it again. Like it was what's called feast and famine, right? So there wasn't that stability of income. And nobody taught me saving. So I really didn't grow up prioritizing savings. However, on my dad's side of the family, well, it wasn't technically better, but it was just different. My dad's side of the family, everyone was employees, so they worked, they did save. So they worked and they saved, but maybe I was too young and they never taught me how to save, whatever. But they worked, they saved, they live a very stable life, and they lived a life that was more like not really taking risks. That wasn't really the part of my dad's side of the family. So I kind of had both sides of the duality of what just felt like, oh, like opposites. I was kind of like struggling with both of that a lot growing up. But the biggest pattern that I saw in my life is that I would just make money and then spend it all. And that was like a big part of my younger years. I started working probably when I'm like, what, like 17 or 18 or something. Like, I don't remember, but like it was around high school. I started working and I remember just working and then spending all of my money. And I never saved, I never invested, never did any of that, even though I read a lot of books that spoke about savings and investing. But energetically, within my patterns, within my conditioning, it just wasn't the normal. So I never did it. Even though I read it, I never did it. And so that's like so many of us, right? We're like, oh, well, I should be exercising. I should be eating healthy. And then you don't do it. It's because those things are not the norm for you. Either it hasn't become a habit, you're not familiar with it, you haven't ingrained it in yourself as a habit. So it's just kind of this thing that you know on the top of your head, but you're not really doing it. And so when it comes to money, that's the thing is like we can know so many things that are healthy for us, but when it comes to what we actually do, it's like, well, what is your conditioning? What are your habits? What are your emotions around the things that you want to do? If you perceive saving or investing as painful, not technically like physically painful, but maybe emotionally painful, like, if you think, oh, well, if I'm saving, then I'm not enjoying my life, or if I'm saving, then, I'm not, I'm taking my money away from me or whatever, right? And so you actually create pleasures around spending. You think that, well, if I'm spending, then I'm fulfilling my life. I'm fulfilling my desire. So it must be a good thing. And so if all of your focus is on just spending and not saving at all because you view spending as pleasurable and you view saving as painful, then you, as a person, you're gonna go towards the pleasure. That's how we all operate as human beings. We move towards what brings us or what we think brings us pleasure. And so for me, the money work that I had to do was changing up my mindset around that. Well, instead of seeing pleasure in spending, I started reframing my mindset to see pleasure in saving. So I played a lot of different games with myself, right? Like just different things that I had to do to like just whatever it is to rewire my mindset that saving is pleasurable, like rewriting my goals. What am I saving for? I'm saving for not just the things that I should be saving for. That's another thing is if we think that we have to do something because of a should, it's not gonna land very well. For example, I'm like, oh, I should be saving for a house, right? Like the should. Because why? Because everybody is saving for a house, and that's what you should be doing when you're in your 20s, in your 30s, whatever. Like, that's what people do. So I should be doing that. But that's not really what I really want to save for. But when I think about, well, I want to save for an investment portfolio in the stock market, that actually feels a bit more exciting for me. Like, oh, like that actually what I want to do. Why? Because I don't want to live a life that's just stuck in like one location, but I want to move around. So for me, I'm like, I like the idea of having like a stock portfolio, or I'm going to save for a travel trip, or I'm going to save for this retreat that I really care about, and I'm going to save for the things. It's not that I'm saving so that I can spend, but I'm saving to invest in myself. And that was really the thing that got me into the mindset of saving is so pleasurable because I'm actually creating opportunities for myself. And so that's how I rewired the concept of savings. And instead of calling it savings, I changed the word to cushion. I don't like the word emergency. I get the whole idea of saving for an emergency fund, but here's another thing. When you do your money mindset work, language is everything. So for me, the language, the word of saving for emergency or saving for a rainy day, I get the whole idea, but I don't like the word emergency. I just don't like it. So I changed it to a life cushion, meaning that I have this like soft, big pillow that if something were to happen, I can fall on it and land nicely. And I like that word. So for me, ever since I shifted my language to that word, it just creates saving even more pleasurable. And so for me now, it's like I'm earning money not to spend it all in the way that I was conditioned to do, in the way that my environment taught me, what was normal. But now I'm changing that through changing what is pleasurable. I redefine what is pleasurable. And so it's not just at the mind level, but I actually meditate on this stuff, and I invite you to do the same. Like I said in the beginning, anything that you want to contemplate deeply and you want to create deep transformation with, you want to bring that topic into your meditation. So just allow yourself to deeply contemplate about it, to really sit with the topic and see what comes up for you. And so when I did this with money, it changed so much for me. The other thing that changed for me as well is I told you before, with my mom's side of the family, it was very much a feast and famine kind of cycle. It was like up and down, up and down, up and down. And so last year, I was very determined to change this pattern for my personal life. I wanted to change it to stability and consistency. For a long time, those words meant that, again, I associated those words with painful things like, oh, well, if you're too stable and if you're too consistent, like you're not growing, or or like there's just this general misjudged that stability is bad and taking risks is better in the entrepreneurial world, And so for a long time, I looked at, oh, stability, like that's for losers, like whatever, And then I started to realize, you know what? Me having chaotic financial life is me having chaotic emotional life. And so the work that I was determined to do was I'm going to create stability in my life in general, in my personal well-being, in my emotional state, and also in my finances. And so how I started this work was going into meditation with it. I would use the mountain meditation on stability and rootedness to meditate on my emotional stability as well as my finance stability, financial stability. And that led to me manifesting consistent income, whereas before I did not have that before. So that's the thing for me is when I'm sharing this with you, I invite you to read as whatever many books as you want on personal finance and et cetera, but I invite you to bring it into your meditation so that you can actually contemplate on the topics and actually create transformation in your life. I feel like I'm repeating that, but you know what I mean? The next thing is you want to face your fear. So here's what I mean. When you want to work on something that's deeply sensitive and personal in your life, you always want to ask yourself, what is it that I'm most afraid of? Because your fears are the gateways to your greatest growth. And this is what I have decided for myself pretty much like 2 weeks ago. For the longest time, the concept of fear didn't really land for me. It wasn't, I mean, yes, I knew how to like take leaps of faith. I knew how to do certain things that I wasn't comfortable with. I knew how to kind of like, step out of the societal pressure and do things my own, like the individuation process. But I wasn't fully engaging with moving with fears. I didn't fully contemplate on the concept of fears. I was very much just in it, like, oh, I'm afraid. Don't go there, right? So recently I started working with my own coach and I started to contemplate on fears. I contemplated on the different types of fears that exist in my own life. And I started to dissect the types of fears and how I can handle certain types of fears. So I name one of the categories of fears is real fears. So, for example, if I'm like running on a trail and I see a fucking bear, like, ooh, like my survival fear is gonna kick in and I'm gonna be like, either I play dead or like I gotta do something to survive, right? Like, that's survival fears. Those are real, legit fears. How often do they happen? Not as often as we think. It's in the back of our mind. Fears are not going away. Unfortunately, the emotion of fear is just not going away. The way that fear operates in us, it's not going away. It's just a part of who we are, how we were built. Like, we are able to generate sadness and happiness and joy and excitement and ambition and all of these other emotions, and fear is one of them. So what I've come to the realization is that fear is a part of me. I'm human, I have fears. That's how this system works. It's like an iPhone, it's got its operating system, and certain operating system needs to be there for it to function. And fear is one of that for us as humans. So it's like, fear is there. It exists for me to be aware so that I can survive. So that's the one category that I put fear in. The second category of fear is what I call opening fears. These are the things that open us up to invite us for growth. That's why I call it opening fear. When you walk with fears, opening fears, you allow yourself to grow so much more. And so, what I started to ask myself is, what are the fears that I'm most afraid of? The opening fears, fears that would really help me to grow, fears that, like, if I just learn to walk with it, like, I'm a freaking amazing human being, And so, that's what I wanted to share with you is when it comes, not just with your finances, but let's just say in your life in general, like, what are you most afraid of? You want to list out those things. You want to see them on paper. You want to see them in front of your eyes. Because when you actually see your fears in front of you, it's like, oh, damn, like, there must be people who are not afraid of this, but I'm afraid of it. So that means that there's an opportunity for me to overcome my fears. Because if other people either have overcome the fears, learned how to walk with the fears, or don't even have this fear at all, or whatever, then there must be possibilities for me. My fears are personal. They're not objective. They're not like, for example, for the longest time, I was afraid of looking at my finances. And this was probably like 2018 or something. And so, I don't really look at my bank account very often. I look at it when I have to. I look at it when I'm paying bills. I look at it when I need to, but I don't wake up and I'm like, oh, yay, like I get to look at my bank account, like that was not the case. And my finances was not very good back then either. I probably had like $2,000 in my bank account. Like, it wasn't very much, and I was just like, anyways, it's all a result of the fear of looking at money in general. And so, when I was forced to look at my spending habits and just my money habits in general in my business in 2023, that changed the whole game for me. Like, basically that week, I had to like sit down for straight 1 week, just going over every single transaction that happened in my business of the years before and calculating everything, categorizing everything. I was basically doing my own bookkeeping, and that forced me to look at my fear directly in the eye and being like, shit, like, this is my spending habit. This is how that changed the whole game for me. After that, I started looking at my money every single month. So it started off as looking at my money every single month, meaning looking at fear in front of you. Like, if you're afraid of certain things, you wanna look at it. Yeah. It's like what, like fear, what is it? Fear exposure therapy. Like, if you're afraid of spiders, you want to just like first like look at it from afar, and then slowly you kind of like expose yourself to the fear. So that's kind of what I did. It was like, okay, I'm gonna look at it every month now, 'cause damn, like that was not good. So I looked at my finances once a month. I'm like, that's it. Just once a month, I do the whole thing, the whole summary, what happened this month. Just start categorizing income, expenses, etc. That transitioned and evolved into me having this whole freaking spreadsheet. It started off with just like a very simple list of income, expense, net income. And then now it evolved into this whole thing of like, I've got all different categories. I've got my like analytics. I've got my stats. I've got my numbers. I've got all these things. Like it evolved within 1 year. And so for me, this concept of what are you most afraid of? And like, look at that in the eye and work with it. That is so powerful, because what I'm guarantee it. Like if you, let's say you're afraid of savings, right? Like you want to bring that into your field. Or if you're afraid of investing, or if you're afraid of making more money, or if you're afraid of making money in a different way, or if you're afraid of, you know, generating your own source of income, or if you're afraid of leaving your job because you want to become a business owner, or if you're afraid of whatever it is that you're afraid of, okay, bring it to your attention, bring it to your field of awareness, meditate with it, do something with it, just bring it to your field of awareness, because that in itself is going to change your whole freaking life. I said to myself, I said, I want to learn how to walk with open fears. For me, my biggest fears for the longest time was like making content. I'm freaking afraid of making content. I don't know if people know how afraid I am of making content, but I really am. And so when I first made my like real kind of out there content back in 2019 when I launched my podcast, I was like crying, you know, when I pressed that. Posting that first episode, I'm like crying. I'm like, I can't do this. This is so hard. I don't know why it's so hard, you know? And so for me, it's just like now it's evolved into me making content more on a regular basis. Still, there's a fear there. The fear hasn't left. It hasn't left, but it's just that I'm more open and I'm working with it along the way. And it's the same thing for money. Like, just be more open and working with whatever it is that comes up for you when it comes to money. So the next concept that I want to talk about is what you measure gets improved. And I didn't believe this shit because I never measured anything before. But when I started measuring, when I started keeping track and budgeting and everything, things improved. So like I mentioned to you in 2023, right? I started looking at my numbers. And that was kind of the first step, just looking at the numbers, just writing simple numbers down, how much I made, how much I spent, how much I have left. And so I started just measuring on a very simple basis. And then it evolves to now looking at every single transaction. Now it evolves to how am I spending each dollar? Where am I putting it in? Which category do I put it in? Where am I saving it? Where am I investing it? What do I have plans for this? Like it evolves so much. And so it started off as measuring something so simple, and now because it got improved, now I have a whole system. I have a whole system of how I'm looking at this thing. So what you measure gets improved. And it's the same thing for goals. I recently started tracking my goals and my habits every day, and creating realistic goals. So I have this habit too where I tend to, how do you say? Set a very high expectation for myself and then create disappointment, right? Don't do that. So what you want to like I think if you find yourself to be the type of person that can easily have bigger visions, then your work is to actually break those big visions down into smaller goals. Small, digestible, easily achieved goals so that you can like support yourself along the way. So essentially that's what I did, and that's measurement. You cannot measure a life vision of, you know, whatever your life vision is, like becoming the greatest person ever, or, you know, like whatever that life vision is, living on a countryside with an animal farm. I don't know. Like that is too big. You know what I mean? Like that is too big. So, but what you can measure is everyday life. So things that you can measure is, I don't know, I'm just gonna take the example of living on a farm, which I don't even wanna live on a farm, but whatever. It would be like, okay, well, how much are you saving, right? Like, how much are you saving for that plan? What does that look like if you're living on a farm? Like, Are you going to be working on the farm? Is the farm going to be your source of income? Or are you going to be working a remote job? Or are you going to be working a local job? What are the little steps to get there? You know, like if you're living on a farm, like do you plan to live on your own? Do you live with your partner? Do you live with your children? Like whatever, you know, like just you break down the big things into the small little steps and then take it from there. And so that's the biggest thing that I've learned, and it has helped me so much with my money. Like, don't just say, well, I'm gonna invest all my money into a stock market because that's what I read in a book and that's what I should do, and that would be a smart thing to do. And then every month you don't even think about it. Like, you're like, oh, yeah, I should be doing that. And then you forgot about investing. Break it down, measure it. If you wanna invest all your money in the stock market, what is all your money? Just break it down. Okay, if within 6 months that equals 5 to 10,000 or 20,000 or whatever your level of income is, right? Break down that numbers and then break down the numbers every month. How much is that every month? Is that $10? Is that 100? Is that 1,000? Is that 10,000? What is the number so that you can measure? Because what you measure gets improved. So that's essentially the biggest skills that I've learned along this journey is to freaking break everything down into smaller goals, smaller steps, and just measure the shit out of it. The next thing is failing to plan is preparing to fail. Honestly, I did not land on this shit for a long time. I was just kind of like, oh yeah, well, I'm just gonna take a leap of faith and the universe is gonna catch me. I'm just gonna do it and then, like, it's gonna happen. I mean, here's the thing, advice works in different contexts. That level of advice, the advice of like, just take the leap of faith, just do it, right? That works in certain contexts. Yes, 100%. In money, so far, what I see is that when you plan, when you prepare yourself, you just have that greater level of success. Like, if every month you look at your money and you're like, okay, this is what I plan to do with this dollar, this is what I plan to do with this, this is what I'm planning to do, you break it down, you just plan it ahead of time, you feel so much better. Like, you feel like, shit, like, I got this, you know, like, I'm a CEO of my money. You know, I'm managing my money. I'm not just going with the flow, just seeing how things go. No, that shit works in a different context, okay? But when it comes to money, what I find is that preparing is the best thing you can do, preparing every dollar. You know, like for example, I don't know, say you prepare to save. I'm gonna use my example. I'm attending a retreat in July that's gonna cost me probably, I don't know, 1,400, something around that. So from now, which is April, I'm preparing, right? Like, how much initial deposit have I already put down? Okay, I've already put down $600. How much do I have left to put down from now until July? How many months is that? You know, is that like $800 a month? Is that $500 a month? Like, I put that number every month so that I know, okay, if I get an income, $500 from that is going towards this. Or travel plans, like, okay, I plan to travel here, how much does it cost? Every month, however much I make, I put that into that category of travel. So it's like, these are the things that it feels simple, it feels like it's common knowledge, but do people do it? Do people do the common knowledge? Because I didn't. And so I'm here to like advocate for that, you know, like do the basic, simple, common knowledge thing because that thing is so helpful. Another thing. So, we're gonna go into two topics next, money boundaries and money manifestation. So, money boundaries is something that, oh my God, took me a fucking long time to learn. Boundaries in general took me a long time to learn, okay, not just money. But basically, you know, I have this thing where in the past, my boundaries with money were violated multiple times by people that were close to me, just in different ways that really hurt me and makes me very, was angry. I was angry, not anymore, but it did make me angry just having my boundaries around money violated. And so through my journey, what I learned is that, well, if I'm going to be in a financially healthy place, I have to define what are my money boundaries, you know? Do I feel comfortable lending people money? Do I feel comfortable sharing my money in this way? How do I feel about people asking me for money? How do I feel about people asking me for certain things or just borrowing money or like whatever boundaries around money it is? Like how comfortable do I feel around that? What are my boundaries around that? I had to set that. For me, unfortunately, I had to set that in a very strict way because in the past, I've just had too many people violating that boundary multiple times. So for me, it's very strict. I do not lend money to the people that I know. Like, I don't lend the big amounts. You know, like if you tell me, okay, I just need $100, okay, that's whatever, you know? If somebody goes, you know, like I need to pay my rent this week and you know, I don't have the money for it, which is sadly like that's been the situation that I've been faced with the people that I love is like they come to me and it's just a very disheartening conversation, right? Like I cannot pay rent for this month. Can you help me? And it's like, holy shit, like your survival is at stake. And like at that time, I would say, oh my God, I have to help you. And my past self would have just given the money. So whether it was $2,000, $1,000 to help, like I would just give it. And then unfortunately, that money was not returned. And for me now, because of that experience, I set a very strict boundary where I just don't do that anymore. And it eats away at me a little bit, like, I mean, a lot, the guilt, right? The guilt and like just like, oh, like I could help them, but I can't because that boundary has been violated many, many times. And that is obviously a personal thing for me, but it doesn't have to be for you. Maybe for you, you're okay with that. Maybe you're okay with lending people money and you've had a good track record of them paying you back and it's fine for you. Like, this is not to say you have to do or have the boundaries that I have. It's more so just what are the areas in your life when it comes to boundaries around money that works for you and what doesn't? So it's about you sitting down and defining that for yourself. So for me, I had to do that. So for me, boundaries that I'm comfortable with is like if, you know, like if my siblings are like, hey, you know, I need whatever, like I'm okay giving them that. But if somebody comes to me and say, you know, I cannot pay my rent today, and it's like every month they go and they're like, I cannot pay my rent, I have to start asking different questions. Are you financially responsible for your life, or am I financially responsible for life? I'm not financially responsible for your life. So those were kind of the enmeshment codependent boundaries I need to change for myself. So if you have any of that, you've got to redefine that because the more you make, the more you save, the more you invest, the healthier and the stronger boundaries you need to have around that. Because like if you make $0, nobody's gonna ask you, right? Nobody's gonna be like, oh, well, I need to borrow $5,000 from you. And you're like, I'm unemployed, I don't have money. Like nobody's gonna ask that. But if you're making a high, you're a high earner, you're making six figure, you're whatever, like people are gonna ask. They're gonna be like, I know you have money, can you lend me some money? And it's like, okay, well, what are your boundaries around that? Yes, you wanna help people, but what is the fine line between you helping them and then you enabling them? What is the fine line between you helping them and they are taking responsibility for themselves, or you helping them and they are not taking responsibility for themselves? So that's personal for me. But yeah, like that's essentially was my, like, I gotta draw this line in the sand, you know? So yeah, look at your money boundaries around family, friends, strangers, even when it comes to like charities and donations, just things that hits you on a heart level, you know? Like sometimes I get approached by charities, et cetera, and they're like, oh, can you give money for this? Can you? It's like, okay, I've already given my budget of how much I can donate this month. If more people ask me to donate more, like I have to either do that within the budget of next month or whatever. It's not like you know, so my past self would have been like, oh, like that hurts. I need to help. You know, I need to help. But it's like I'm helping at the detriment of my own well-being. Whereas now it's like, I know I can help. I can help within these limits that I've set. So strong boundaries, healthy boundaries. That's what I've learned for myself, and I hope that you have that for you as well. Last but not least, money manifestation and goal setting. So, I truly believe that we can manifest any amount that we set out to manifest. I've observed this in my life at a minimal scale. You know, like I'm not a multimillionaire where I'm like, oh my God, like I've manifested multi-million dollar. Even though, you know, I truly believe that anyone can and have the ability to do that, including myself. It is obviously a timely process. It's not, you know, anyways, what I'm saying about my manifestation is you can manifest any amount that you want. It's your intentions behind it. It's what you're committed to. It's what you're devoted to. It's also obviously time, right? Like, for example, you want to be a software engineer making six figure a year. Right now, you're still in high school. Like, you can't just jump to that within the next day. Like that's gonna take years. That's gonna take time. But from a business perspective, from, you know, just personal life perspective, it's like, say you want to increase your level of income by a couple of thousands of dollars, or maybe you want to double your income. Like that's gonna take certain steps, certain levels of either increased skills or knowledge or whatever. Like there is a gap between where you are now and where you want to go. So there is that gap. And that gap, honestly, there's no time limit to that gap. It's like that gap can either, it depends on your how big the gap is, but that can take sometimes days, sometimes weeks, sometimes months, sometimes years, sometimes decades. So it's just setting realistic mindset around that. So like if you wanted to double your income, okay, yes. Be realistic, right? Like, don't think, oh, I want to double my income. It has to happen tomorrow. Be realistic. You know, how am I going to double my income? You know, do I plan on bringing more revenues? Do I bring on, do I apply for a higher income job? Do I sell more things? Do I create values in a different way? Do I increase my skills level? Like, those things take planning, strategic planning, and time. But money manifestation is really the way that I see it is your intention. If you create an intention for something, it is going to happen because everything around you, your subconscious, conscious mind, everything is going to work towards that goal. So, for example, like when I had the intention to create consistency in my money and my income, it happened. It happened within 8 months. It took me a while. I was traveling, I was doing all the things, but it took me 7 to 8 months to manifest that, just consistent income at the level, exact amount that I set it at. So in 2023, in January, I wrote in my journal a very specific amount that I wanted to make every month, and I wanted it consistent. And in my mind, I actually wanted it in my business, but how it showed up in my life was through a job. And so that's the thing too, is you want to be open to any ways that it can manifest. It can manifest through an opportunity that you haven't seen or thought of before. It can manifest through a person, it can manifest through an event, it can manifest through just different opportunities. It doesn't have to be just one way. But basically, I set that very specific amount at the beginning of 2023, and I literally manifested an opportunity that was that amount every month. And I was like, damn, like manifestation, that shit's real. So for me now, it's like my goal is, of course, doubling my income. So for me, the mindset around that is, okay, I know my intention is to double my income. What is that going to take? What does that require? What does that, who do I need to become in order to manifest that? Who do I need to be in order to hold that vision, that energy? What are the things that needs to change? What are the things that I need to either improve, change, or remove in order for that to manifest? And so manifestation is not just like, well, I think about it once and it happens. No, it's manifestation is you think about it, there's an intention, you hold that intention, but you're not like obsessed. You're not like, oh my God, am I doing that yet? Is that happening? Is that happening? You're not obsessed, but you know that you have the intention in your mind, and every day you work towards that in some way or another. And eventually, of course, it's going to happen. But of course, there are challenges and obstacles that come because it's human. We have to learn. We have to face challenges. It makes us stronger. But the manifestation and the intention is there to happen. We can literally manifest any fucking thing. So, I think that was pretty good conversation. There's a lot more that I could share, but I think this is a good first video around this. So if there's anything that you wanted me to share more or questions that you wanted to ask to go more in depth about certain subtopic or a question, a topic, then just leave it in the comment or drop it for me in the chat so that I know what it is that you want and I can create more conversation, more videos on that. So yeah, if you've liked something about this video, let me know as well so that I know. And if you didn't like something, maybe let me know too so that I know. And may all of your goals and your manifestations and your money habits and your patterns, may they all improve, get better, serve you, and deliver you and your life and the people around you tremendous values. I wish that for you. I pray that for you. So thank you.